morning. All right, you know, it says up on there, walking the way of Jesus together is his spiritual family. Last month, we explored that word together. And that was the theme. And we talked about various things of what it means to be together as family, together with Jesus. This month, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. It's family food and fix your eyes on Jesus. But again, walking the way of Jesus together as his spiritual family. So we're going to explore a little more of family, but there's going to be food involved, which is always exciting. And the opportunity to hang out with people for lunch. Think about hanging out with somebody, meeting somebody new, taking a campus student to lunch, doing something different. But together is his spiritual family. And it means we're going to have a series of 15-minute communions each Sunday this month, given by other members than the regular ministry staff. We'll be praying together or having that fellowship time together. But as we think about what does it mean to commune together, to have a time together, we're going to be looking today at John, part of John chapter 6. Now, the book of John is interesting because there's no Last Supper discussion in the book of John. But there's similar language that Jesus uses at the Last Supper in John chapter 6. And the theme of the Gospel of John basically had one piece of instruction from the words of Jesus, and that's to love God, love Jesus, and love one another. And you see that over and over again. And as we pick up in John chapter 6, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people. They thought of him as a great problem solver, and they even wanted to make him king by force. And he had just walked across the water to get away from the crowd. And we pick up in John chapter 6, verse 25, it says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. See, it's almost universally true that people are more attracted to material things than to spiritual things. For example, a sign that says free money and free food will get a bigger crowd than one that says spiritual fulfillment and eternal life. But why are they asking this question, what must we do to do the works that God requires? That used to confuse me. But Jesus had just said to work for food that endures to eternal life. So they're puzzling it out and trying to figure out, well, okay, so we want to get some more bread. What kind of works do we need to do to, you know, get what we need? You know, just tell us what to do so we can get what we want from you, Jesus. So Jesus essentially responds, you know, before you even get to obedience, you've got to trust me to believe in the one that he sent. Trust is sometimes a difficult thing. We have to accept Jesus on his terms. Why do we come to church? And I want to thank Alex Gregory for helping me do some of the research on this lesson. But why do we come to church? Are you here to get your own emotional needs, physical needs, social needs met? Are you here to force Jesus into some political role or position? Or are you here to meet Jesus as he is? You see, whatever we're going through, whatever is happening to us, we're required to have faith and aim up. Now, trust is difficult. For example, myself, I've got to go through a surgery this year, a neurosurgery. I've got a, you know, acoustic neuroma, non-cancer tumor in my head. And, you know, I've gone to several doctors. I'm going out to the best clinic for an acoustic neuromas in UC San Diego, probably end of September, beginning of October. I'm going to schedule it this week. And I'm going to the best program I know in the country, but my trust is not going to be just in the doctors. I'm going to be trusting, I mean, you know, they're going to strap me to a table in a position like this, and 5 hours they're going to be cutting a hole in my skull and draining the brain fluid so that the brain shrinks out of the way, and then going in there and drilling through the ear bone, and sorry if there's any kids in the room. And then, you know, removing 99% of the tumor, leaving the part that wraps around the facial nerves, and there's a 40% chance of my hearing in that ear remaining, but a very good chance of preserving my facial nerves. But that's a little bit scary. I'm going to have to trust the great physician. We're required to have faith and aim up no matter what is going on in our life. Now, a couple interesting quotes. You know, F.F. Bruce said, what they wanted, he would not give, and what he offered, they would not receive. Now, think about it. Jesus could have been the kind of leader. Might not he not easily have routed the Romans, restored Israel to all her glory, conquered the Gentiles, and subdued the world, and set up a glorious church and state with himself for the king and himself as the head of the church? But Jesus knew better than that, and he was not to be tempted away from the true method by which his church to be set up in the world, Charles Spurgeon. Now, we don't always like the way Jesus sets up his church in the world. He himself went to the cross and said, you're to imitate me and to follow me. Okay. So, reading on in John chapter 6, so they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? I mean, he just multiplied the loaves for 5,000 people. Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Do it again, Jesus. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. At this, the Jews then began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? We know this guy. He hung out with us. Jesus is saying, you guys want a sign, a miracle? I am the miracle. I am the bread of life. Now, you see the symbolism of traditional Jewish feasts here. But Jesus is saying, I'm not like Moses who gave you manna. The miracle I did, multiplying the bread, that shows I'm above Moses. I give you my identity. You see, Jesus makes 7 metaphorical I am statements in the book of John, and 7 signs accompany those I am statements. This is one of them. I am the bread of life. When you only look at, Jesus is trying to say, when you only look at the earthly, you're not going far enough with your desires. You may love the immediacy of interacting with me, the bread, the miracles, the healings. But you don't want the long-term implications of going to the cross, of dying to self. You don't want the bread I'm really offering, but that is what you need. That's the fuel humans are made to live by. An interesting side note is, you know, Bethlehem, where Jesus was from, Beit means house, Lechem means bread, literally house of bread. I mean, he made these statements. I am the bread of life. I am the manna that came down from heaven. Moses was there and prayed to God, and God provided the manna, but Jesus is saying, I am the manna itself. Manna doesn't preserve life, but living bread does. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat, not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They thought it was an outrageous statement. Now, very similar to the communion language of bread and wine being his body and blood, but a lot of scholars say, you know, he's not talking about communion per se in John chapter 6, but, you know, who knows? On the other hand, I don't think he's encouraging his followers to be cannibals. So there's something profoundly symbolic here. But he's calling us to sacrifice our individual whims for an identity that stretches beyond ourselves. It encompasses others, as he did. It needs to encompass our marriage partner, our family, our church family, our community. See, when you voluntarily accept responsibility, responsibilities in life, responsibilities for others, your life develops profound meaning. And a lot of people fail to realize this. But the language was offensive. So what does Jesus do? He doubles down. Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, I mean, you know, all the prohibitions in the law of Moses against eating anything with the blood in it. I mean, cannibalism just was not okay in the Jewish thought. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. See, he's insisting that he must be their sustenance. You ever poured water into your gas tank? Don't try it. I've not tried it, but I hear it's not a good thing. The car was not meant to run on water. It's meant to run on one thing, fuel. But what do we pour into our lives to try to run our lives on? Oftentimes, it's not the bread of life. They would only have true life if they drew it from him. That seemed too extreme for most, and he lost a lot of followers that day. He was not a good PR person. He was not a good, you would fire him if he was marketing for your church attendance. Accordingly, they walked away. But Jesus leaves us with a choice, and that's the way God is. See, to eat is to imitate. We're to consume his identity, his body and blood. Now, we're not going to settle today whether the communion elements merely represent the body and blood of our Lord symbolically, as opposed to representing them in sacrifice. The Catholic Church teaches transubstantiation, which says that the bread and wine are changed into the body and blood of Jesus. But much of the weight of early church history, and even through the Reformation, the emphasis was on the concept of real presence, a term that means somehow Christ's body is present in the communion, also known as the Eucharist. Eucharist is just a Greek word meaning thanksgiving. But one of the problems with, if he meant that the bread is literally his flesh, well, did he literally mean that the cup is the new covenant? Or does the New Testament teach that Christ is mystically a lamb or a gate? There's a lot of symbolism, so we're not going to resolve that today. But go study it. Either way, the idea is that we collectively, together as a family, experience the presence of Christ together when we commune together. Jesus is pointing us toward togetherness. We're not meant to understand it all. There's got to be a sense of mystery. We don't have it all figured out. But consider a lesson from nature. Click. Cue video.
Every day, young sunflowers take part in a remarkable dance.
All right, you get the point. Where should we fix our attention? I mean, in fellowship today, I got to fellowship with Comsi. She said she has a women's Zoom prayer group that meets every Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. So I love that. I love what our fellowship is doing. Anyway, let us fix our eyes on Jesus and commune together. We'll pray. Father God, thank you so much for the opportunity to have a family together, the opportunity to get to know one another more deeply, help us to stretch and really open up with one another. Help us to trust in you. We Trust is so hard for us, and we want so many things from you. Help us to accept you on your terms, to come to you as you would desire, and to fix our eyes on you continuously throughout the day, in our prayers, in our thoughts, and in our communion together. Thank you for your body and your blood. Thank you for the love you show us, and thank you for this time together. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.